couple things I want to let you know before I get started. James Harcrow passed away yesterday. We don't have the specifics on when his funeral will be, but it will let you know. You can always look on Facebook. When we know stuff, we try to put it on there. Or you can call the church, but we don't know. But he did pass away yesterday, and they'll be getting us information about that later. Also, if you're not a Baptist, and if you're not an Arkansas Baptist, you may be saying, what is the Dixie Jackson offering? This is an offering that we give that goes to support state missions, the Arkansas Baptist Convention, and we encourage you to, there's a little prayer guide to go with it, and to give to that offering as you can. But more than anything else, be praying. We do have missionaries. They work in our prison systems here and other places, chaplains, and there's a lot of things that go on that you're not even probably aware of. So anyway, dirty words. Now, first of all, let me just get this out. You might be going, oh, this is an off day. There's not very many people here. I mean, it's always, as a pastor, one of those dilemmas. You think, okay, I know about 20 people on vacation this week. You know, I know where they are, and I know there's people doing things. Ty, the pastor at Lake Washita this morning, had something up about don't let the rain keep you from going to church, because we know that when it rains, we lose 20% of the people. Can you believe that? And yet I go to a football game in the rain and it doesn't seem to affect, if it's a good team, it doesn't seem to affect anything at all. But here's the thing I was thinking about as I was coming this morning. The biggest mistake you could make and I could make this morning is that God isn't going to teach us something. I have found in many cases, these are the days when God shouts to us if we just listen to Him. And so we've been talking about these dirty words, and there are some dirty words that we've talked about already. The very first Sunday, we talked about the word surrender. Part of being a Christian is surrendering everything to Him. It is saying, here am I, Lord, I'm all yours. And we talked about that the very first weekend that we started this series, and then the next weekend we looked at the word called sin. And people don't like that word. As a matter of fact, one of the things we do in our culture today, if we want to do it, we don't call it a sin. We call it something else. And yet the Bible is very, very, very specific about sin. And sin is something that is very, very real. And if you die without Christ, if you don't have a relationship with Christ and you die, it is your sin, the things you do, not God, that causes you the problem. And causes eternal separation. It's sin. And then we talked last week about the word repent. Nobody likes the word repent, because repent means that you change the way you think and live differently. Who wants to do that? We want to do what we want to do. And it's a real problem. Nobody wants to repent. Everybody wants God to heal America right now. It always is comical to me. Everybody's wanting God to heal America and do all this good stuff. They don't want to repent. It's kind of funny to me. Yeah. They'll put scripture up. I want God to heal our land. Because if they look, it says, turn from your wicked ways. You know, we don't want to do that, but we want God to heal our land. But this morning's message, and you know, I debated what to preach on Labor Day weekend, because I knew we'd be missing people. So what I do is I do it in advance, so I don't have a chance to think, okay, I wish so-and-so was here, because they would. I just do it that way, because I don't believe in shotgun preaching. I want to tell you what God wants you to know, and so this one I kind of wish I would have changed and put somewhere else, because it's so good. It's the dirty word called serve. Now that may not sound like a very dirty word to you, but it's a very dirty word, I promise you. In the church today, it's almost a word that we no longer even recognize. And there's a reason. There's another word called consumerism. And you've heard me talk about it before. Consumerism is when you begin to think the church exists to take care of you. That is consumerism. It's when you begin to think that that church exists to take care of my needs. And the question people have when they come to church is, what's in it for me? Or they will say, where will I get the most bang for my buck? If I go to this church, will I get the most bang for my buck? And so a lot of the choices we make today about where we go to church is based on what can this church do for me. So the first thing that happens is when you get mad, guess what? You find another church. And then you find another church. I used to plot it. About every 5 years, you'll find another church. And it's called consumerism. And consumers are different than co-workers. When Paul talked about Christians like you and me, he called them co-workers. And here's the difference between consumers and co-workers. And this was in a book called Replicate by Robbie Galanti. He said, a consumer is a spectator. In other words, you come to church and watch what I do. I'm kind of like a clown, you know. Well, I am like a clown, but anyway, a consumer is a spectator. A co-worker is a participant. A consumer shows up late to the service. A co-worker arrives early to help. A consumer criticizes everything that doesn't line up with his or her preference. A co-worker appreciates everything that God is doing in their church. A consumer comes to sit and get. A co-worker looks to go and serve. A consumer asks, what's in it for me? A co-worker asks, what's in it for you? A consumer only takes in for themselves. A co-worker pours out to others. A consumer sees himself as a cistern to store truth. A co-worker sees himself as a channel to bestow blessing. I'm telling you right now, what is killing the church in America today is this consumer attitude of the church is all about me. And we want the church to take care of us. And yet when you look at this dirty word called serve, it changes everything. So that's what I want us to look at this morning, this dirty word called serve. Now the first thing I want you to understand, as a Christian, when you accept Christ, you become a slave. Now, we don't like that word in our culture today, but it literally means you have no rights. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. And it's a word called doulos. It means bondservant. It means one who is owned by someone else. And so Paul and Timothy, they say as they write to the book of Philippians, they said, listen, we are bondservants of Jesus Christ. And what that means is they have no rights. They are owned by Jesus Christ and they exist to serve Jesus Christ. Now that goes against everything in our world today. Romans 6:18 says, now you are free from your slavery to sin and you have become slaves to righteous living. When you become a Christian, there ought to be a change. You go from being a slave to sin to being a slave to righteous living. Living that is different. Living that changes. And so this word slave is not a pretty word, and it's not. And serve comes from being a slave. Many of the problems in today's world, in the church especially, would be taken care of if every Christian said, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. Because when you're a slave to Jesus Christ, really, you have no rights. So I don't like that music, or I don't like that person, or I don't like this. Or slaves don't have rights. And so you find in the world today that in the church, especially in America, we like our freedom. We like to be free. And that is true as long as you don't abuse your freedom. But one of the things I want you to understand is someone owns you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And that someone is God. And we need to get in our minds that we are not free to do whatever we want. We are not that way. So here's the outline, and this is the part. I love this stuff. First thing I want you to know is you got to start with God. You've got to start with God. And in Joshua chapter 24, verse 5, you find this verse. It says, but be very careful to obey all the commands and the instructions that Moses gave to you. Love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, obey his commands, hold firmly to him, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Now here's the situation. In this passage in Joshua, they have been fighting a war. And they're going back to the promised land. And he's kind of reminding these warriors, when you go back home, don't forget to do certain things. Don't forget your commitments. Don't forget your commitment to obey God. But what I love is when he ends that verse 5, he says, and serve him with all your heart and your soul. I mean, do you think of that when you come to church, that your responsibility this morning is to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not just to come sit and soak. You are to serve him. It means you're supposed to work for him. I looked up the word in the Hebrew, and the word serve means to work. It means to do something. In the case of worship, it means to do religious things. And I started thinking about that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul had just written in chapter 15 about the resurrection and that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. And in verse 58 he says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. And in other words, Paul says, because of the resurrection, you need to work. You need to work enthusiastically. You need to serve him, and you need to know that when you serve the Lord, it's never wasted. And then there's another verse in the New Testament, Romans 12:11, that says, never be lazy, but work hard, and get this, and serve the Lord enthusiastically. You know, it's kind of what Brent was saying again. You know, when you accept Christ as your Savior, it's easier to be enthusiastic, but you add 20 years, 30 years, and one of the things that you can lose is your enthusiasm in serving a Lord. And it becomes something you have to do, not something you want to do. And yet when we look at the scriptures, if we're going to be the kind of believer we need to be, we need to start with our relationship with God, and we need to understand that God has called us to serve him. You're not to go to church to listen to him only. You're to serve him. It's incredibly important that we understand everyone in this room has no rights, and we have a responsibility to serve each other. That's just biblical. So you start with God. But the second thing I want you to see, Joshua, a couple of chapters later in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, he says these powerful words, and these powerful words are really important for us to hear. It says, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly." Not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. Put away your idols, your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, now listen, he says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But here's my favorite part. This is one you see in every Christian household. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. One of the most important decisions you can make for you and your family is that you will serve the Lord. Now, here's the problem. He lines out the problem. He says it's real easy to half-heartedly serve the Lord. Do you wholeheartedly, that means your whole heart, serve the Lord, or do you just give him a portion of your heart? He says, are you going to serve the Lord, or are you going to serve the idols of your ancestors? What are the idols of your ancestors? It could be anything. Listen, we in America have created, when you think of idols, I'm sure you're thinking of what you see overseas in Asia, the Buddha and all that stuff. Those are not the idols that concern me. The idols that concern me are the idols that you and me make of things in this culture. I mean, you have as much temptation to worship something other than Jesus Christ every single day. The choices are unbelievable. But I love what Joshua said. He says, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That is the most important decision a married couple can make. We're going to serve God. And yet it's easy to forget it. It's easy to pick up a different idol. It's easy to serve something else. And so the question is, have you made that decision? Now, my decision, when Julie and I started having kids, we'd already made the decision before we had kids, was that we were going to serve God. And everything else in our life revolved around that decision. And so when it came to making how I was going to use my time and money, that guided my decision. Because if I'm going to serve him wholeheartedly, I've got to give him all. And this is such a crucial thing to do. Serve the Lord as a family. It's not just one, it's everybody. And that's one of the things that Josh was instructing them to do, is to serve the Lord as a family. And then he gives us an example, not Joshua, but in Matthew chapter 20. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28. Jesus is explaining how to be great in the kingdom of God. And this goes against everything that the business world teaches you. This goes against every bit of logic that you see in culture. But how in the world did Jesus say we were to be great? How did Jesus measure greatness in the church and in the kingdom of God? Well, in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20, he gives a story, a true story, where a mom wants to get her kids ahead. You know, moms like to do that. They like to get the inside track for their kids. They don't care about the other kids. Get their kid in there. Well, listen to this story. He says, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. Anytime a mom asks you a favor, I shudder. It's like, okay, what's this going to be? And look at the favor. He says, what is your request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? And a typical mom, oh yes. Oh yes, they replied, we are able. Jesus told them, for indeed, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or the left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. So here's the situation. Mom's trying to get the kids in positions of power on the right and left of Jesus. That means they would be the top dogs. And she's trying to figure out how to do that, get the inside track. But look what Jesus said next. He says, well, actually, look at the response of everybody else. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. They were ticked. They were mad, understandably. But Jesus called them together. He said, okay, this is a teaching moment. How do I teach these numbskulls how to be great in my organization? He says, he called them together. He says, you know that the rulers of in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. It will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. And then he says in verse 28, for even the Son of Man, talking about himself, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus says the way to be a leader in my kingdom is to be a slave, to give up your rights, to serve other people. That goes against everything that our world teaches. It goes against everything. And I've had people in the church, not here, but in other churches, try to tell me, well, I've been a member of this church 30 years. You ought to be doing this and you ought to be doing that for me. And why? What makes you more important than that person who just accepted Christ? We're all slaves. We're all servants. You're not any... You've been here 100 years? You're all slaves. Do we understand that the word for us is doulos? We have no rights. When you accepted Christ, you gave up your rights. And Jesus said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, the way that you're great in my kingdom is you serve other people. But in our world today, the way we measure greatness is how many people serve you. And that's why the word serve is such a dirty word. We're wanting someone to meet our needs, not us meet their needs. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to be a spiritually mature person at First Baptist Mount Ida, the way you get there is by serving, not demanding. And you never outgrow being a slave. Did you know that? Once a slave, always a slave. If you become a slave as, I think it was under 13, you could never ever buy your way out or work your way out. Now, there were some ways the Romans had, but a doulos is someone who is called to serve others, which goes against consumerism. Listen, people wouldn't change from church to church to church to church if they were a slave. Right? Because you don't have a right. So Jesus gives this incredible example of what spiritual maturity is. It's the person who's willing to pick up a wash rag. It's the person who's willing to serve, to do something for other people, not to say, do something for me. One of the things I love about this church is the servants. Every Wednesday night, there's a group in that kitchen doing nothing but cooking and cleaning up that room downstairs. I mean, and I as a pastor look at that and go, that's incredibly impressive. You're washing, you're cooking, you're cleaning the tables, and then in order that the other slaves can go do slave work with the kids and the teenagers. It takes all of us being slaves to get anything accomplished. But I have been in places where they want to hire people to do all that stuff. And I've always been impressed with the people of this church, because if they're there and they physically are able, if you're not physically able, that's okay. We understand that. But I've always been impressed with the number of people who just pick up a rag and clean some. You don't find that in a lot of churches. You weed out a lot of important people with cleaning up. And that's good with me. I've had people here get upset because they weren't physically able to clean up like they used to clean up, Lynn. Who has cleaned up plenty messes at First Baptist Mount Ida. I mean, who does that, slaves? Who set the example for us to be slaves? Jesus. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. He was a servant. So the question I hope you're thinking about, whether you're a member or not a member, is, am I a servant? Because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're called to be a slave. Not to me, to Jesus. And to do what he wants. Which leads to the fourth thing, be a server, not a taker. I've learned in this world, there are a lot of takers. They'll let you serve them all day long. But my challenge to you as a believer in Jesus Christ is be a server, not a taker. And I get that from Galatians 5:13. In Galatians 5:13, listen to how hard this verse is. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Okay? As a Christian, we're called to live in freedom. But then look what he says. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. That's the hard part. Every single one of you that are here this morning chose to be here this morning. And so I'm going to commend you for being here this morning. Because you could have been somewhere else. You use your freedom properly. But you know what? You're going to wake up tomorrow morning, and you're going to have to do the same thing again. And the next day, and the next day, and next Sunday. You see, you are free. And I want you to understand, in Jesus Christ, you are free. But you're not free to do what you want. You're free to serve him. He says, instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Do you know how unpopular that message is? Serve. And it's the verb form of doulos. It's what a slave does. You serve other people because that's who you are. And that's where it gets tough. Because we live in a world, we're Americans. What we love more than anything else is our freedom. And I do, I love my freedom. But we as believers have to use our freedom properly to serve other people. First Peter says it's this way. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. In other words, everybody in this room, teenager, kid, adult, everyone in this room who is a believer in Jesus Christ has at least one spiritual gift. The whole point of having a spiritual gift is to use it in the church to serve each other. Some people serve by teaching. Some people serve by cleaning tables. Some people serve by setting up chairs, working with children, working with youth. But every single one of you are given a gift. And the point of your gift is to serve other people. And when you're not here, someone doesn't get your gift. But you think, I can do whatever I want. And you can. You're free. But you're also a doulos. You're a slave. And the question is, and I can't answer this, are you a slave? And are you sold out to serve Him? You see, you're never called to just be a superstar in the church. You're called to be a slave. Which leads to the last thing. Start now. Now, I honestly believe anytime there's two people gathered, God speaks. So you're here. There are other people that aren't here that use their freedom the way they chose to make their decision. You know, that's what they do. But look at Romans 12:11. He says this to every single one of us who know Christ. Never be lazy. Never be lazy, but work hard. But work hard. You say, I work hard on my job. I understand that. That's good. You work hard. You deserve a medal. But there's a spiritual world where we're supposed to work hard. He says, but work hard. And then look what he says. And serve the Lord enthusiastically. Wow. He said, don't... I can see some people say, well, preacher, he's getting on my feet. And my goal is never to step on anybody's feet because that's not my responsibility. Just put the scripture out there and let it convict you. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord angrily, no, bitterly, no, enthusiastically. James 4:17, now this was the kind of verse you don't want. James 4:17 says, remember, it is sin. I hate this verse. It is sin to know what you ought to do, then not do it. Now, I hope that convicts every single one of us in this room, including myself. When God tells me what I'm supposed to do and I don't do it, that is wrong. And the same for you. And so what I say is, when we look at the scripture, the word servant and serve is a dirty word. We want to be served, not to serve. And yet in the scripture, you don't find that. And we're either going to be people of the book or people of the world. You have to make the choice about how you will respond. But we are called to be slaves who serve one another. And it's a dirty word. So if you're not serving, there's another dirty word for you. Repent. And then there's another dirty word that tells you why. Sin. And we go back to the original dirty word that you would be a slave if you understood it, which is surrender. How different our world would be if all the churches just in Mount Ida were slaves. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Catholic, the Pentecostals, if we were all just slaves doing what the Master tells us to do, how much different our community would be. So what about you? How are you going to use your freedom? Will it be as a slave or as an American slave or American? I got real excited because when I was studying this and I was thinking, man, really, I just want everybody to be a slave. And when people join our church, I wish we could, when people accepted Christ or someone in church, I wish we had a little slot. Maybe we need to do that, Greg, and put down, I want to be a slave instead of a member. Member has membership, right? Country club, you know, I got my membership. I've been here longer, so I'm a member and I'm on the board and blah, blah, blah. But what if it all just said, and so I thought about it and then I thought, oh, I got an idea. I want you to be bothered by the scripture. I really do. And here's how I'm going to do it. And just a little bit after I pray and as we leave, many of you have been driving me crazy asking, what are these towels for? There's some over here. We got two boxes here and two back here. And I was being faithful. I was hoping there'd be 90. I have 90. Maybe some of the ones that aren't here, you need to take them one and say, hey, pick up your rag. Okay? You say, well, what is this? It's a work towel. And what I want you to do is I want you to take it home and put it somewhere in your house. If you have kids, teach your kids what this is. Pick them one up, and it's to remind us to serve the Lord. Put it in your house. When you have someone come over, I know you got all your nice stuff, but just put it somewhere because it isn't nice. It's fluorescent. And they come in, they say, well, what's that for? You'll say, it's to remind me I'm a slave. I don't have any rights. I just got to serve Jesus. Don't use it. I mean, I guess you can, but I want you to keep it out where you're reminded. Guys, some of you are already going, my car is dirty. I'm going to go wash the car. No, I want you to have it laying around the house. Somebody comes over the house and they say, well, what's that for? And you just say, to remind me to be a slave to Jesus Christ and to serve others. And if you'll do that, you get it. But if you put it away and you forget everything I said, guess what you've done? You've used your freedom to do what you want. And I hope it bugs the crud out of you. You skip church one Sunday, you come home and you see that towel, maybe you need to get on your knees and say, God, forgive me. Unless you're sick. If you understand if you're sick, that's a different story. Okay? Let's pray, and then we're going to get ready to go. Father, I thank you for everybody in the room. I thank you for the dirty word called serve. I thank you that in the scripture we are taught that you came to not be served, but to serve and to give your life a ransom for my sins. You died for me. You took my place, and I thank you for that. Help me to be a slave. There's no good leaders in this church that aren't slaves. Help me to pick up my wash rag and clean. And just help us, Lord, to really understand it's not about membership. It's about serving. In Jesus' name, amen.